This program is intended for mature audiences only.
Welcome to the Expanded Lovemaking Show. I'm your host, Dr. Patty Taylor of expandedlovemaking.com, and I teach you how to make exquisite love. Today on the show, we are talking about the truly erotic man, his secrets, her pleasure. Have you ever wondered, what does that guy have? How does he have one woman after another hanging off his arm, fawning and cooing all over him? Or just bragging about what a great lover he is? Maybe you just see it in her eyes. Are these guys just the best looking or the richest? If not, then what is it? And more importantly, can you learn what they do so that you can bring the woman in your life this much pleasure, connection, and turn on? We are so lucky to have as our special guest, Adam Gavaz. So Adam, welcome today.
Oh, thank you. Nice introduction.
So, let me tell you a little bit about Adam Gavaz. He's the CEO of Gavaz Creative Media. He's a writer, an Emmy-nominated producer, traveler, scholar, teacher, a student, and a life enthusiast. He founded an evolving suite of seminar enterprises which aim to guide men and women into their inner strengths and highest intentions so that they can communicate with each other in a powerful, passionate, compassionate, and most importantly, communicate in a mutually inspiring way. Well, that's a great goal, and let's find out how we can do this. How did you get involved in doing this phenomenal work here?
Well, it's an evolving process, and it gets better and better as every year passes, I have to say. First of all, thanks for having me. I'm a communicator. I see everything as energy exchange and everything as communication exchange. I've been a writer all my life. You know, I was a screenwriter, professional writer, taught writing at Stanford. And I'm very sensitive to words and language, and I sort of see everything as language, even you know, body language. I watch animals, and I've always been fascinated by how animals communicate, and obviously we communicate with what Mary Oliver calls the soft animals of our body. And my learning process really began after a divorce, and I felt I needed to look at everything all over again because I got married very young, 23, and in my late 30s, found myself single again and looking out at the world afresh. And because I was a writer, I was very intrigued by online dating because I really had no idea how to date. I had never dated as an adult. And someone told me about online dating, and to me that was God's gift because it was an opportunity to see into the soul of women. If they could express their soul, what I discovered is that most women, most men, don't know how to really express their depth, don't know how to express their yearning, don't know how to express what's really important to them because they're not either in touch with it or they don't have the language for it. And I found this a fascinating realm. And so I wrote a book for men and then a book for women on how to communicate your deepest, best self in such a way to attract the kind of partner that would make your life better. And the book, the one for women is called The Right Man Online at .com, and the one for men is Deep Attraction Online.com. And what started out as kind of a whim, just teaching people how to really attract somebody, how to trigger attraction, ended up being a career. It started there, and then it developed from there. But I want to say something about triggering attraction because what my work has developed into is the two ends here, the two endpoints. One is learning how to trigger attraction, and this is important for sexuality. Obviously, there's those sparks and triggers, but the other side of it is how to inspire devotion. And I really didn't understand much about that when I began, except in a sort of conceptual way. And my work in the last couple of years has been much more about learning how to trigger attraction, but also how to inspire devotion, you know, from the first moment you meet somebody and ongoing, because I don't know what the point otherwise is of having a relationship or even having sex.
Okay, great. Well, please continue.
Well, let's see. So what happened was I wrote these books and got literally tens of thousands of readers and followers around the world who are interested in basically a writing course. because, as I said, to be able to articulate yourself is not an easy thing for a lot of people to do. And one of the things that happened that was very unexpected was one of my principles for men was to show that you were a sensual human being, that you had a sensual side. A lot of men don't know how to express that. They didn't know how to express that. They could talk about sex, and they were usually pretty gross about it in their online profiles. But I opened up something for them, and this was the unexpected part. They were dying to express their sensual side. And I showed them how to show in their descriptions, in descriptions of their life or what they enjoy, to show that their senses were actually awake, that their sense of smell was awake, that they were able to linger and be slow and feel through their skin, and that their sense of hearing and touch and what they saw, you know, to be able to describe things with sensuality. And what happened was I created monster after monster, because these guys would send me their profiles, and now they'd have three paragraphs describing, you know, a meal, or three paragraphs describing walking across a beach and how the sand felt and how the rustle of the leaves sounded and how the sun felt on their skin, which was great, but it was really overdone. And what I realized, that it opened up something for a lot of men that they had never had the ability to really express before, that they were dying to express their sensuality but didn't know how.
Uh-huh. So where did that evolve to?
Well, you know, guys started writing to me and said, well, I'm meeting women finally. And they had a lot of problems. They wanted to be better lovers. They wanted to be better partners. And so I did a poll. I said, what's the one thing you would like to learn to be a better lover, for example? And I got back some interesting answers. And, you know, and maybe it's not surprising to you, but I think 75% of the men who responded wrote that they had orgasmic, you know, control problems. You know, they premature ejaculated. Does that surprise you at all? You're immersed in this stuff.
I've heard it's anywhere from 30% to 70%. So you said 75%. So that could just be that, you know, your sample was more those that were willing to write to you, but not totally surprising. The other answer that could have been were those women, guys that wanted to please a woman, because I meet a lot of those where that's their main focus. So
yes, that's the other one. And so putting those together, I actually created a program. It's called Erotic Mastery. And what I did was I really tried to get the gamut of sexuality. So from very simple techniques, which I'm sure you've discussed in your other programs of PC muscle control and all the sort of physical techniques of pleasing a woman that we often talk about. But I wanted to add something deeper, because I think what really makes the difference is that kind of deep presence, kind of deep feeling into the person you're with. Utterly, all those other things become, let's see if I can find the right way of putting this. I'm trying to think, the metaphor would be like on a car. They would be like I'm trying to think of the right word. The not the decals on a car, but you know the rims and the fins and all the things that go around it. But the car is consciousness.
Right, they're the superficial layer.
So, yeah, I mean they're important. I don't want to say they're important, but they're parts of a whole, I guess is what I'm really trying to say.
Right. I understand what you're saying. They're the icing on the cake, but where's the cake?
Exactly. or on the pie.
Right. I got it. They're part of the package deal and an important part of the package deal.
Exactly.
But people want the whole package.
Right.
Very good.
And the deep packages, I mean, the engine of the car to me is, if we're talking about sex, is, you know, how are you and who are you as you're entering a woman or as you're being entered?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Now, that conversation will pick up the ears of a lot of women right there.
Yeah, I mean...
And men, too. But
well, and then when I say enter, I don't mean just, you know, in terms of intercourse. I mean eye to eye. As you enter each other's being, you know, as you enter each other through your eyes, as your breath enters each other, who are you? What are you thinking of yourself? What are you thinking of yourself as? I hate to end on a preposition. Sorry, I just traded all my education. But, you know, as you're encountering somebody, are you coming as your personality? You know, are you encountering your partner as the sum parts of her personality? Which, you know, can be kind of interesting for a while, but anyone who's been in a long-term relationship knows that, you know, even the best personalities get annoying or boring, and that there's something deeper than mere personality. So how are you seeing the person you're with, and how are you being? Like when I say, who are you as you're entering? So there are different practices I actually discuss in Erotic Mastery. One is a beautiful practice I learned from one of my teachers, Satyan Raja. And he talks about meditating first and embodying, you can do a couple of ways, all masculinity, all consciousness, all men, and really grounding yourself in a sort of vastness of masculine, I don't say force, but masculine energy, right? Feeling all the men that have ever lived, feeling all the men on earth now, feeling all the male creatures on earth, and that desire to penetrate and to procreate ultimately and to fulfill that partner who you're with, and to, when you actually physically enter in intercourse, to enter as all men. Or you can enter as all being, as all creatures, as all life. And that means taking time to really ground yourself and breathe in all the trees and all the animals and all the humans who have ever lived, just all that the force that drives the green fuse, to quote Dylan Thomas. By the way, great poem. If anyone hasn't read it, the force that drives the green fuse drives my... I'll figure it out. I don't remember it offhand. The force that drives, that through the green fuse drives the flower, drives my green age. It's fantastic. It's about the life force. So imagine taking time before having sex to meditate, even reading poetry, which I love, but to really sit with what is it to be the life force that so desires to continue. I mean, taking a moment and looking into the sky and thinking of all that dead, black emptiness out in the universe, and then to look around this green earth, this throbbing, thriving, hungry earth that wants to replicate itself, this crazy desire, right, for sexual connection, to embody that life force and then enter as part of that, because we are part of that, instead of just a little dick and a little vagina. That's so much more grand. Does that make sense at all?
That is so beautiful. And I have some questions I want to ask you. We do have to stop and take a break. This is Dr. Patty Taylor, and we are talking to Adam Gilad. You can learn more about Adam at eroticmastery.com, eroticmastery.com. And also, check out his show right here on Personal Life Media, Fearless Lover. So please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Listen to Sex, Love, and Intimacy, a podcast providing weekly audio workshops for your pleasure and connection on personallifemedia.com.
We're back, and yes, I love what you're saying. It's almost like what you're saying is about bringing fertilizer into whatever you're doing with your partner to really make it much richer.
I like that, although as a guy who's trying very hard not to have a child at the moment.
I know, but once you got the birth control on, I think we still need psychic fertilizer and spiritual fertilizer and, you know, all the other ways to nourish and enrich, and it's so much more than just the physical.
Yeah, because the physical runs out, at least that's my experience. The physical becomes a curiosity.
Right, we feed each other all these different ways with the poetry and the energy and, like you were saying, you know, the green life energy, I think. So anyway, please continue.
Now I'm thinking about all the green life, that description, a little aroused and a little inspired. I mean, there's something when you can connect the sexuality with where it really comes from, which is this whole divine interplay, you know, and I guess the Vedas and the Indians really had it right with their, you know, playful sexual gods, because there's something profound, grand, and transcendent about, you know, this desire that we have, you know.
It is so all of this stuff, if a man is a really great lover, do you think he's doing anything in particular that our listeners could sort of latch onto? Are there any formulas, or do you think every guy has to figure out for himself, like, you know, what his own magic formula is? Or do you think there are things that, you know, a guy could reliably do that really are going to, you know, like, is there a tip that you could say, you know, guys, do this right here and now? Is there something you'd just recommend for all the guys?
Yes, the top technique tip is avoid technique. It's always going to be moment to moment. The thing is, guys, you know, we're fairly simple people, and when we learn something, we think if we keep doing it again and again, it will keep working. It won't necessarily. It's possible. I would come back to the word communication, because that's really where I begin. I just wrote a piece yesterday, actually, about a technique that I learned from David Data, which is a presence technique. So let me, and I expanded that. So let me add another element. So sexually, a great game you can play with your partner is, I call it the numbers game. And you take turns, and maybe you've discussed this in an earlier show, but one partner pleasures the other in all ways, whether it's touching, kissing, the whole gamut, everything, from the beginning, from foreplay. And the other partner, without judgment, just murmurs a steady stream of numbers from 1 to 10, and it's purely on the pleasure scale. So 2, 2, 5, 3, 8, you know, back down to 2, 0, 0, 0, like that, but without judgment and with playfulness. And it's really an opportunity to learn. And a lot of people, I think, have to go through that fear of rejection or being judged and feeling shut down when the numbers go low. So you have to drop your ego to do this game, because you're really there to learn what feels good for your partner. Now, just because you do this once doesn't mean it's going to work forever. So it's a game that should be played, you know, ongoing over time. But it's a great way to get honest feedback about what really feels good for your partner. That's number one. And then the other technique is taking this to the level that I think where everything really matters. It's important to know these things. Those are the parts of the car, right?
Well, can I just interject for a second? I just want to stop a minute and talk about that technique, because I think that's a phenomenal technique, and I just want to make sure I heard you right, because I think if I did, I just want to really interject there. So let me get the visuals on this. Let's say you're pleasuring your girlfriend, and you're stroking her, and you're on a place that's really, really, and she's just sort of randomly, not randomly, but okay, she's in a stream of consciousness, and she's reporting to you how good it feels. So she's saying, you're at about a 3, or it could be the other way around, woman to a man, but yep, let's just have it one way. So she's saying, you're at a 3 now, you're at a 4 now, you're at a 5 now, you're at, oh my gosh, you're at a 9 now, okay, now it's about a 6, now it's at a 5, now it's about a 6,
yes,
now you're at a 6, you're at a 6. I think that's unbelievably amazing, and I want you to know, I've done that with long-term partners when, you know, things are a little stale and we don't know, and we're feeling a little lost, and it's been absolutely something that has totally blown our minds, because it's very neutral language, and nobody's feelings do get hurt, and it's very educational, and I can't recommend that enough. I think that's a sensational technique. So I just wanted to really draw that out and highly recommend that, and say it works the other, I'm sure it works the other way around for a woman to be on a man as well.
Well, yes. And again, the caution is, one must drop one's ego. It's not about being judged, and in a long-term relationship, it takes extra effort to do that.
So isn't that half the exercise, is to see where you might have ego? Because isn't that part, I mean, that's part of the exercise, is to let go. You know, you said that you're in communication, so that's part of it, is
right,
to develop the ability to drop the ego, because without the communication, I mean, how do you learn about each other?
You have to, exactly. And again,
what a phenomenal exercise.
Get better.
I just rolling over here, like, glowing. I think it's just a 10 as far as an exercise goes. What else do you have?
Well, before I get there, two things. I want to say just it's not easy, and I want people to know that when they're in a long-term relationship, there's a lot of, see you, you always do that, and you're doing it again, and that, no, none of
no,
that.
No, putting it in numbers is great.
And it's got to be just numbers, not like, even not you're at a, it's just like 2, 2, 4, 3, and communicate with your breath and your intensity, you know, what it really feels like, but say nothing else but numbers, just the number.
Love it. Just love it. I think if everyone went home and tried this, there would be, it would be mind-opening and eye-opening and very vulnerable and intimate. I just love it. Love it.
Yeah, I'm glad. I love your enthusiasm.
I do. I think it's great. I'm do it tonight. I really am. I love it.
To learn over and over and over again, you know, it's. I mean, poetry, there's a great definition of poetry, and that's to see the world afresh.
That's right. And all you need are a few good techniques, you know, and you can just keep them. Yeah, this is a keeper. This is a real keeper.
You may discover that touching her wrist may be the most erotic thing you could possibly do, and you wouldn't know that unless you did this practice.
If all you're getting are ones.
Well, you won't. I mean, you keep going and laugh with it, enjoy with it. That's the key thing. It's a game. It's not a court. Okay, so that's the big thing there. Now let's take it to another level.
Okay, good.
Okay. This is where it really gets intense. And my belief is, and this is my experience, once you've transitioned into this kind of lovemaking, you know, the other kind doesn't even make sense anymore.
Okay.
The second practice is very similar. It's also a number game. But this time, you're enumerating the person's presence. How connected are you? Different kind of communication. So this is a eye-to-eye, body-to-body connection. Are you really with her? And there's a practice. The practice that I adapted this from, I learned from David Data, which is a men's exercise where we stand face-to-face, and one palm is facing up and one palm is facing down. And two men go palm-to-palm with about an inch between their palms. And you stand eye-to-eye with full consciousness and full presence. And if the other man's presence wavers even just a bit, it could be a flick of an eye, it could be looking away, it could be something in the mouth, it could be just something in the body energy, well, you feel that guy isn't really with you now. And we're talking with you in a military readiness, you know, that kind of just about to spring if you have to. You're so connected. Your eyes are not glazing. You're not thinking about anything. As soon as you can feel a thought, you slap the hand really hard of the guy opposite you, and you test to see how hard you can slap without killing him before you begin the exercise. So it's a way to wake each other up, right?
Uh-huh.
So, now, I haven't figured out a slapping corollary to sex yet, but taking this idea of presence and measuring each other's presence, and it, by the way, in these exercises, sometimes we also do 2, 4, 6, measuring the presence of the other person.
Wow.
One person just reflects back, I feel you, yes, 10, you are fully here, 9, 6, and you can feel that when you do this as a practice. And it struck me, what a great idea to bring this into sexuality. And again, it's a game, meaning it's not a court. But when you're making love, as a practice, not every time, but as a way of honing your engine, right, of tuning your engine, to do that. And one person tells the other person, I feel you, you know, you're with me. And I guarantee, I believe men are usually more distant than women, but I guarantee if you do this practice with your man, or if you do this practice as a man, you will become practiced and better at staying present with the woman, which is probably the most erotic thing you can do anyway.
Right. Well, I think that's a really interesting exercise. It may be easier to practice that manually, you know, because I think people are very vulnerable when they're making love. So, and I think people go in and out of presence during sex because there's so much charge, you know, during the arousal process.
Oh, yeah. But what an amazing thing to become orgasmic and still stay utterly present.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. To practice it with a manual might be an easier way to jump in there and do the practice.
How do you mean manual? What do you mean?
With your hands, you know, like expanded orgasm or something, just manually touching the clit or touching the penis. And practicing that presence, and the other person saying, you're with me, and
yep.
one, you know, that's doing the numbers thing that way. Because, you know, when people get aroused, it's not that they don't want to be present, or what, even, you know, let's just stay with the arousal thing. It's not that they want to lose presence necessarily. Sometimes they do, and that's another conversation. But sometimes it's just the art of arousal is you're arousing the sympathetic nervous system, and it will take the mind into one of the Fs: fight, flight, feed, or fuck, or freeze. You know, there's a lot of them, or fornicate. But you only want it to go into the F of, you know, fornicate, or sexual pleasure, basically, and or make love. But it can easily go into fight or freeze or flee or, you know, feed or whatever. So it takes a lot of training to keep your arousal into pleasurable presence, which is really what you want. And that's really where we're going with all of this. So, you know, for those people that are going in and who find that they do your suggestion and go out of all of this, just to have some compassion for themselves and realize, okay, I'm aroused. I just need to come back into pleasurable arousal.
Yeah, it's not about judgment. It's about awareness. You know, it's being aware. Where are you? Because once you become aware of where you are, then you can play the instrument of who you are.
Uh-huh.
And if you want to go away and have some, you know, pleasurable experience and remove yourself from the moment and go into fantasy, that's fine. But now you're aware of where your consciousness is as you develop that ability to, moment by moment, stay in touch with where you are. You know what I'm saying? It's not that you have to be 10, you know, connected to each other 100% of the time. Sometimes maybe you want to let your partner go into some fantasy, flight of fantasy. I mean, it's a wonderful thing, but it's not unconscious anymore.
Right, right. I love that. Well, we're going to take another break. This is Dr. Patty Taylor. We're talking with Adam Gilad. And you can learn more about Adam Gilad. I will say he has some wonderful CDs and DVDs and all kinds of wonderful things. So check out eroticmastery.com. And also his own show, Fearless Lover, which is another show right here on Personal Life Media. Please stay with us.
Listen to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, a weekly internet audio program from personallifemedia.com. Learn ancient secrets that turn on the soul of sex at personallifemedia.com.
We're back. And so anyway, how important is it then to actually learn some of these techniques since the presence is so important?
Very important. And I just want to say one thing. Erotic Mastery, the program is for men.
Uh-huh.
It's specifically for men. So sorry, ladies. I don't have a program for women yet. I just want to make that really clear.
Okay.
It's specifically for men. I don't have a product for women yet. I do have the product, therightmanonline.com, which is about how to communicate yourself to a man so that you can attract the right man for you and scare away the wrong one.
Okay, so women can send their partners to Erotic Masters.
Exactly. Or buy a gift for Christmas. Now, your question was, how important are techniques? Obviously, very important.
Right, because we still do need the icing on the cake, you know.
you need the flour and the sugar and the, you know,
right.
and of course the chocolate chips and the niblets and the macadamia nuts. Let's not forget the macadamia nuts.
Right.
You need all those skills. You absolutely need all those skills. And there's great resources, obviously, for those. What really fascinates me is how to bring them into conscious lovemaking.
So, what do you think is your growing edge as a teacher?
My growing edge as a teacher is to, be so, in Hebrew, the term, when Adam and Eve, the term is kebasal echad, come as one flesh, right? That's the Hebrew expression. I think it comes through in English, too. When a man to get woman come together is to be as one flesh, is to be so enmeshed in my partner in the moment that all the details of the physicality fall away.
Wow.
There are moments where, and I guess one would call it kundalini energy, I'm not an expert in these things, but I know a little, where it's almost you become a double helix spiral of bliss and energy, and everything falls away. And then there comes a moment where you're back in the bedroom and, wow, what happened? And that's a kind of connection that's really the only thing that interests me sexually at this point. I found there was a moment in my life, and I dated heavily, and people who know anything about my background know about that, where I had this moment, and I wrote about it as from fucking everything that moves to being moved by everyone you fuck, where the human connection just has replaced the physicality of sexuality for me. So that if for me just to have sex without that kind of connection, it's like washing the dishes, I'm sorry to say. It's almost like that. It's detail without context.
And how easy is it to have this kind of connection that you talk about? Do you think that it happens by grace, or do you think it can be created at will, or is it somewhere in between?
I'm sure there's both elements, but I'm positive also that it's a matter of practice. And this kind of consciousness practice, the kind of presence practice, to me is essential. My presence is so much different than it was, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. I can't make love without it. My experience has been that it's profoundly lonely.
Uh-huh. So your advice then to our listeners would be what?
Well, that's my experience. So, you know, I'm just saying that's my personal experience. And one thing I do know is that everyone has a different trajectory. So my advice is to practice presence, to try those two exercises, for example, as ways of really learning yourself and learning your partner, and see what gets discovered on the way. My discoveries may not be other people's discoveries. You know, like I said, I experience profound loneliness making love without deep connection, like profound loneliness and sadness. It shocked me, and it changed me. So, but other people may not have that. You know, everyone has a different story. So my deep suggestion is, yes, learn every technique possible, and then learn to drop your ego, and then learn to have this kind of feedback and communication so that when you're making love, it just becomes natural. You don't have to think about it.
Well, I think that's incredibly beautiful. So we're going to end the show pretty soon. I just wanted to ask us before we do, two questions. Number one, can you take a moment and just tell us a little bit about what you're doing these days?
Oh, boy. a lot. Too much, probably. What I'm doing now, I just filmed an infomercial for both men and women, which offers the book that I've written for men and for women about how to communicate your best self in the language that the other gender can feel online, because that's where I really began. And then there's a follow-up to that, which I'm calling From First Date to Life Mate, which is related to my Fearless Lover podcast, which is how do you, from that first date, from that first moment you meet somebody, set the foundations for presence, passion, and enduring love. Even if that relationship doesn't work out, how do you bring yourself so that you're all there in case that person is the right person or can become the right person because of how you bring yourself? So, you know, one way of calling it is the spiritual foundations of passionate and enduring love. But what are the principles of what you can give, what you can put out? Because that's really the core of everything I'm doing. You can't guarantee anything coming back to you. And you know, you've been in a long-term relationship. You have a beautiful one. But you can never guarantee what energy is going to come back to you, what love is going to come back to you, what kind of response is going to come back to you. Everybody's got their emotional kinks and problems and histories, and they hang on to them. But you can control what you put forward and what you bring into a relationship from the first date through having a life mate. And what I'm doing is I'm developing for this infomercial and for myself, for all my work, what I consider the pillars of how do you bring yourself this way so that you are bringing your best self. So if you die tomorrow or next year, you know, you said, I've done everything I can do to bring my most conscious, beautiful, generous, sexy, present self.
That sounds really beautiful, and I think whether you're in a long-term relationship or single or anywhere in between, that would be a really gorgeous thing. I know I'd love to see it. I can't wait for it to come out.
Me too. Can't wait to see what I say.
Yeah, me too.
I'm in the middle of it now. And yes, I call From First Date to Life Mate, meaning it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Who are you? It's the same way as we began. How are you entering or being entered? How are you bringing yourself? uh-huh. At any moment, you know. And it's like being a professional athlete. It hones your game such that just life, you know, the game becomes more fun because you have more skill. You know, you have more flexibility, you have more range, and you can play at a higher level. And you know, I don't know what else to do with the rest of my life except try to figure how to do that. You know, I mean, what else is there to do?
I agree with you. Love is a pretty wonderful game to play at the highest level. So we are going to bring the show to a close. I'd love to invite you to leave an inspiring thought with us, although I'm already massively inspired, but I always like to close the show this way. So would you please?
With an inspiring thought?
Yes.
You're going to die.
Okay.
That's the inspiring thought. You're going to die. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Bring your best self now. Do these practices now. That's the most inspiring thing that I can think of. You know, we forget. We're all going to die. And I've had some encounters recently with friends who died suddenly. And, you know, do it today. You know, develop your skills today. Develop your presence today. Love your partner today. Love people today. I mean, now.
Yeah, that's really powerful. Well, thank you so much. We've been talking with Adam Gilad. You can find out more about him at eroticmastery.com. And also, absolutely, go look him up on Personal Life Media. He has his own show series, and it's called Fearless Lover. So please send me email at patty@personallifemedia.com. And for transcripts of this show and other shows, come to personallifemedia.com. And please be sure to subscribe to my show if you'd like updates to that at expandedlovemaking.com. And that's it for today. This is your host, Dr. Patty Taylor. I remain yours in ever-expanding lovemaking, and I'll see you next week.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.